Sylvain. I think everybody got the yellow page, which will be read after the Heart Sutra. So now we can maybe read together the Heart Sutra. I don't know, which one do you prefer to read? The yellow one, the green one, or the yellow one, the white one?
White.
White, okay. Thus I have heard, and one time the last one of the Dharma Raja Griha.
May they be thoroughly passed away.
male kinds of interferences, disease, and possessing spirit specified, may be separated from unfavorable conditions, may achieve favorable conditions, and may be excellent. There is fortune, may there be, and this time happens.
Тадын кажуваре, на сирени бу казон кажуваре. Сирени бу ценди бу жити ша, жоги бу жоги бу сади жиро. Вот а ценди бу чи табрис. А ну санди тай ки тул жага ки тул бале парама да сиадчи. Не бу ки тул. Вот и бу чи табрис. Лотали бу ша чи табрис.
So then, as we discussed yesterday, here the explanation of Heart Sutra falls into four parts. The first part is the meaning of the title, which we talked about the Sanskrit title of Heart Sutra, Bhagavati Banjaparamita Shindaya. And then next is the Tibetan title, Junan Dema Sheragi Phaldu Chinbe Nimbo. Then that is the first section. And then in the second part, we also discussed the prostration of the translator. Then the third part is the explanation of the scripture itself, the explanation of the scripture, and then this is in turn divided into two subdivisions. The first division is an introduction, and the second is the explanation of the scripture itself. So the first part, introduction, is divided into two parts, a general introduction and then a specific introduction. In the general introduction, the text introduces the four excellent qualities of this scripture, which the four excellent qualities being the excellent time, the time when the teaching is given, the excellent teacher, Buddha, who gave this teaching, and then the excellent place, the Raja Griha, and on the vulture's peak, and then finally the excellent audience, which is the great assembly of monks and great assembly of bodhisattvas. And then the specific introduction is talking about at that particular time Buddha entered into the concentration of the countless aspect of phenomena called profound illumination, and at the same time Avalokiteshvara, the superior Avalokiteshvara, was also engaging in a meditation of the emptiness of true existence. And since this is a specific the situation which is specific to the teaching of Heart Sutra, therefore it is not similar to the other sutras. Therefore, it is called a specific or uncommon introduction. So then Here the Buddha entered into the meditative equipoise, and then he blessed, due to his blessing, then what happens next was the dialogue between Shariputra and Avalokiteshvara. Then Shariputra was asking how should a Bodhisattva who initially engaged in a path, how should he or she train? Then there are two kinds of disciples. One is the sharp disciples and the other is the dull disciples. How should the two kinds of disciples, two kinds of bodhisattvas, train themselves on a path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, and then path of meditation, and finally what is the nature of the path of noble learning? And then the answer given by Avalokiteshvara is a teaching on how a bodhisattva, either of sharp mental faculty or dull mental faculty, train him or herself on these different stages of the path. So then what has been covered in the previous 2 days' explanation was how a bodhisattva, when he or she is on the path of accumulation, the main method used to practice is by means of using the wisdom which arises from hearing and wisdom which arises from contemplation. And then when a bodhisattva is on the path of preparation, then mainly is using the wisdom arisen from meditation. And then on the path of seeing, is bodhisattva approaches the meditation on the perfection of wisdom, or the meditation on emptiness, mainly by means of actualizing the three doors to liberation. So all of these topics has been covered, and what we're going to do today is the explanation of how a bodhisattva trained himself, him or herself, on the path of meditation. Also we say that for the stage of path of meditation, if you're not familiar or you haven't been here today, you might want to get, maybe you have already got it, the table here on the table 3, and it's listed that the 5 paths are listed here on table 3 on the left column. And then as you can see, the path of meditation is further divided into the 10 bodhisattva bhumis, and each of the 10 bodhisattva bhumis has its own the period of meditative. It's called the wisdom of meditative equipoise, the meditation period, during which a bodhisattva is engaging in a direct perception of emptiness. And then we say that for these 10 meditative equipoise, the 10 wisdom of the meditative equipoise, the object that they are meditating on, emptiness, is same. So the emptiness, the object for the meditative equipoise of the 10 bodhisattva bhumis are, we can say, synonymous. Or on those 10 stages, when a bodhisattva is engaging in the direct perception of in the meditation period, or you can say wisdom of the wisdom of meditative equipoise, which is a literal translation. During that time, bodhisattva are directly realizing emptiness of true existence. So the emptiness of true existence is same for all the 10 levels of the wisdom of meditative equipoise.
That's 사주 공안 여자지 주부디 모델에 안에 가서 돈이 춘나 대범으로 변화 내가 지부마도 군주고요. 군주 쉬지요. 그래서 그는 아주 존재 미식 조통으로 봤어. 존재 미식 조통과 대체 존재 미식의 다통으로 말아. 저통으로 통으로 말아. 저다 조다 저다 로다 두둑 걸로 존재 존재 미식 모여 말아. 뭐 되는 게 내주시는 거.
And so at that time during the wisdom the period of the meditation period called the wisdom of meditative equipoise, during that time from the perspective of that wisdom the only thing that appears is the ultimate truth, whereas the conventional phenomena do not appear. Then that is similar to the situation the I consciousness which perceive form do not perceive sound. So that is similar. During that time, there is a discussion that when a bodhisattva on the path of meditation, when he is or she is directly perceiving emptiness, at that time only emptiness or the ultimate truth appear. The conventional phenomena do not appear. So then here we say that when a bodhisattva is on the path of meditation and is directly perceiving emptiness, at that time the conventional phenomena do not appear. So that, therefore that is a time which is called the wisdom of meditative equipoise. That time only emptiness appear, conventional phenomena do not appear. But when a person has achieved Buddhahood, at that time the phenomena and the emptiness of phenomena, the two truths, conventional truth and ultimate truth, appear simultaneously to that mind. So therefore you can say for a Buddha the wisdom of meditative equipoise and the wisdom of subsequent attainment. One is the meditation period directly perceiving emptiness. The other is the post-meditation period. But for a Buddha, we say that these two are synonymous. They are same nature. The meditation period and post-meditation period are same nature. Whereas when a bodhisattva is on the learner's path before achieving enlightenment, then mainly on the path of meditation, at that time a bodhisattva has to alternate between the meditation period and the post-meditation period. So then here what is discussed in the text that we're going to see is basically talking about the fact that from the perspective of the wisdom engaging in the meditation on emptiness, from the perspective of that wisdom, the conventional phenomena do not appear. So from the perspective of that mind, five aggregates do not appear, the 12 sources do not appear, the 18 spheres do not appear, and then the 12 links of dependent arising and Four Noble Truths do not appear. Yeah, so then now we can go to the text. So then here when you can look at the text we're using here In the last paragraph of the first page, it says, therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, and no consciousness. So this is the list of the five aggregates. In other words. Next it says, there is no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. So here, this refers to the fact that it's basically talking about the six sense faculties, the eye sense faculty, and ear sense faculty, nose sense faculty, tongue sense faculty, and body sense faculty, and mind sense faculty. Those six there's none of those, which means they do not appear to that wisdom. So these six are what we call the six internal sources. There are 12 sources, 12 ayatanas. These are the six internal ayatanas, the six internal sources. The next it also says, after that it says, no form, no sound, no smell, no taste, no tactile object, no phenomena. These are the six external ayatanas, six external sources. After that, it's talking about the fact that there is no 18 spheres, meaning 18 spheres do not appear to that wisdom. So we get the six spheres, which are the objects, which are the observed objects. The sphere of form up to phenomena, and then we also get the sixth sphere of basis, which are the six sense faculties. Here is the six sense faculties and six external object, which we already talked about in the 12 ayatanas, the 12 sources. But here again, it appears in the enumeration of the 18 spheres. And then the last six, the set of six is the, within the six spheres are the six things, which the six consciousness, which depends on the six sense faculties. So three sets of six then come together, they form the 18 spheres. So then what follows is the text says, there is no ignorance and no exhaustion of ignorance, and so forth, up to no aging and death. And no exhaustion of aging and death. So here it's talking about the 12 links of dependent origination. In fact, what is included here is the forward process of dependent rising and the backward process of dependent rising. So from the forward process of dependent arising, there is the first one is the ignorance, which serves as the basis, and then the second one is the compositional factors, which basically means karma, and then the karmic seeds are deposited in the third link, which is the consciousness. And then afterwards, there is the name and form, the fourth link. Then slowly, after consciousness is conceived in mother's womb, and different kinds of body, the organs or things, the body are developed. So afterwards, there is the fourth one is the name and form, and the fifth one is the six sources. And the seventh one is the contact, and eighth one. Then the fourth one's name and form. Then the fifth one is the six sources. So basically, the organs slowly develop, and afterwards the contact, touch, and afterwards the feeling, and then after feeling is the sebalimba, the so then the contact before that, first of all, you develop some sense organs during the time of name and form, and then the six sources, and then afterwards that time maybe you don't have the full experience of the senses. Then afterwards you have the contact, touching. Contact, not touching. Contact, and afterwards the feeling. At that time, you can have feeling, hot and cold, different kinds of feeling you can experience. Then afterwards is the seva tang lemba, craving and grasping.
Seven kamurwa, seven de sarndos dum chulu jawa ina, seven kuya piyong.
Then we're basically talking about the life circle after the baby was conceived. Then the in the embryo during the period the process the period of embryo, then different sources are different sense faculties are developed, and then afterwards have contact with the contact of consciousness, object, and sense faculties, and then afterwards feelings are developed. And then afterwards, then a person after one is born, and then go through the whole process of living, and finally you arrive at the time of right before death. And at that time, there's the two aspect. One is called craving, and the other is called craving, and the other one is grasping. And at that time, what happens is one developed the attachment for the happiness of the future lives, just as the excellent conditions one have experienced in this life. Because of that, then one also crave or are attached to the happiness of wanting to have the happiness of the future life. That therefore developed the attachment, and those two things basically are differentiated in terms of their force. One is more stronger, one is weaker. And then these two serves as, for instance, for a plant, there is the water and fertilizer, and these two elements, aspects, serves as like the water and fertilizer, which like empowers the seed to be ripened. So at that time, the next link is called existence, which means the karmic seed of bringing a future rebirth is fully empowered. And then after that is birth, being born into the next life. And then after that is the last link of aging and death. The after you're born, then you go age and finally die. So that is the 12 link of dependent arising of the forward process.
What did you tell me? Call of you, then you like you need a volant, Tony Mosu to be Bolanya, she will your mother. That Tony Mosu to be touchy, Tomama River, on Tomama River Gabi, Niban Vigil Lega, Fuma Nashinga, then they like you in Gabi, and then Bodensi River, Pomba Junior, the Supernal Tony Mosu Naja.
So here we're talking about when we say there is no ignorance and no aging and death, and it skips the middle and just mentioned the first and the last one. So it includes the 12 links of dependent rising. And then when it says there is no ignorance and no aging and death, that means from the perspective of the wisdom, which is directly realizing emptiness, these 12 links of dependent arising do not appear. And then also here, if one meditates on emptiness, the wisdom realizing emptiness is able to eradicate ignorance. So there is the exhaustion or cessation of ignorance. And then once the ignorance is ceased, then the composition of factors, the second one, is also ceased. And because the cessation of that, the third link is ceased. So it went like the backward. Finally, the aging and death is also ceased. So there is the backward process of getting rid of getting out of the samsara. Then the backward process of the 12 links of dependent arising. And here it says no exhaustion of ignorance, and then no exhaustion of aging and death. That refers to the fact that the 12 links of the backward, the 12 members of the backward process of 12 dependent rising do not appear to the wisdom which directly realize emptiness. And then next is also talking about the Four Noble Truths. And then, as we know, the Buddha, when Buddha he at the place in India, in the place called Varanasi, he turned the wheel of Dharma of Four Noble Truths. He taught Four Noble Truths. Then the Four Noble Truths are the truth of suffering, truth of origin, truth of cessation, and truth of path. So then there is the truth of suffering, which refers to the suffering of birth, aging, sickness, and death. And then also the suffering of change, and pervasive suffering of conditioning. That is the truth of suffering. And then there is also the origin of suffering, which refers to the karma and delusions. And then there is also the path, which eradicates the, put an end to the samsaric process. So here the text says, likewise, there is no suffering, no origin, there's no suffering, origin, cessation, or path. That refers to the fact that to the wisdom which is directly realizing emptiness, the Four Noble Truths do not appear. Okay, so then, we talk about the fact that the Four Noble Truths do not appear to the wisdom which directly realizing emptiness. And then here there is a controversy or a discussion, a little bit doubt that comes at this point. Rinpoche was wondering whether he should talk about this or not. For a moment he was thinking maybe it's better not to talk about it and make it too complicated. But he changed his mind. He wants to talk about it. So he says, here there's a doubt because cessation is considered actually as the ultimate truth. So because it is ultimate truth, therefore it has to appear to the wisdom directly realizing emptiness. So then there is a problem. Then the cessation, you have to say that it do appear to the wisdom directly realizing emptiness because cessation is ultimate truth. But I guess he says, Hidenbuchi says, so perhaps the likely solution for this is you can say that cessation, truth of cessation, do not appear from the perspective of of the direct perception of emptiness. So even though it do appear to the wisdom which directly appear, even though it do appear to the wisdom which directly perceive emptiness, but it do not appear from the perspective of the direct perception of emptiness. So there is the aspect of the wisdom which is directly perceiving emptiness. From the aspect of that, cessation do not appear. Then it says there is no exalted wisdom, which means wisdom realizing emptiness. So wisdom realizing emptiness do not appear to that wisdom itself. That's what it's basically talking about. And then it also says there is no attainment of that wisdom, and there is also no non-attainment of that wisdom, which means the attainment or non-attainment of that wisdom, wisdom realizing emptiness, do not appear to wisdom directly realizing emptiness. Then here, our Tibetan commentator Jayan Gawe Lodro reported that one Tibetan master, the Rongjiba, Rongjiba of Sakya tradition, he, according to his commentary, that when it says no attainment and no non-attainment, that refers to the fact that the realization of the path, the achievement, attainment of the path, do not exist truly, but it do exist conventionally. So from the ultimate aspect, you can say that there is no attainment of the path ultimately, but still conventionally you can say there is no non-attainment of the path. In other words, conventionally there is the attainment of the path. That is his explanation, but this is refuted by the commentator, the commentary, the author of the commentary we are using, Jayan Gawe Lodro. Then the Tunjung Gongjung, Tujung, Tunjung Samjung Gongjung, Sumbu Dila, the Tundamba,
Tundamba Madu, Zu Tundamba, Tuzong, Madu, Tundamba Madu.
So here also we have to give a little bit explanation of the term ultimately not existent. What does it mean by ultimately? And here, according to Jerembuchi's commentary on Chandrakirti's Majjhimaka Avatara, Jerembuchi's text on Chandrakirti's Guide to the Middle Way, which is the Tibetan title, the Tibetan text is Jerembuchi's Tibetan commentary is entitled Gomba Rabse, illuminating the thought, the illuminating the intent. According to Jerembuchi's explanation, when he was describing the object of negation according to the Svatantrika school, at that point Jerembuchi described, he says the so-called ultimately, when it says ultimately not existent, the term ultimately, there are two ways you can understand the term ultimately. What does ultimately mean? One way is to say that ultimate here refers to the to wisdom, wisdom arisen from the three kinds of wisdom, wisdom arisen from hearing, wisdom arisen from contemplation, and wisdom arisen from meditation. So when it says ultimately not existent, that refers to the fact that from the perspective of the reasoning consciousness, three kind of wisdoms, from the perspective of those wisdoms, things or phenomena do not exist, just do not exist. So that is the one way to decipher, to decode, or to explain what does it mean by ultimately non-existent.
Ane kasi mamalang mga ta, siro mamalang mga siro jibin jeba ta, kung jeba na ati sa ta, ung loza o lodin siro, o tusu kung jeba lo kungsu tobo sa res.
Kungsu tobo. Jang ka. Then here the commentary composed by the Tibetan scholar Jayan Gawe Lodro is based upon the previous commentaries. Basically, the commentaries composed by the Indian pandit Vimala Mitra, and then Adisha, and then also the Ngolo Zawa, the Ngolo Densha, Ngolo Densha, the translator.
So
according to Jayan Gawe Lodro, when it says So according to he, now then he explained that according to the commentary composed by Vimalamitra, when it says no ear, no eye, those things, that refers to the fact that then he's taking the term ultimately non-existent. So here he is. Vimalamitra is here refers to ultimate as the reasoning consciousness. So therefore, he says when it says no eye, no ear, this and that, that refers to the fact that from the perspective of the reasoning consciousness, those phenomena do not exist.
That only was on to Benaja, is a Muriosona, Debatur, Debatur, and a Mulot or Ludenshire again, and then to not Debate, Jimatur, this. Reshi Muriosum to Debatur, Debatur, my Debatur, your Marcos. Things do not Debat Jimatus. Rebu was a Chabanaruke, to not Debat Debatur is, what to do at the Nagawa, doesn't go to this.
So at this time, also, it becomes a very difficult point for many scholars. Then, for instance, Ngô Lodenshara, the translator, according to him, because here there's a difficulty, because if you say that that emptiness appear to the wisdom directly realizing emptiness, if that is the case, the trouble is you should say because it appears to the to that kind of consciousness, therefore emptiness has to be truly existent. There is this problem there. Therefore, according to Mo Lodenshara, the translator, his idea is because we have to avoid that trouble, then he says that therefore emptiness has to be not an established basis, which means emptiness is not an existing phenomena. That is his response. And then also the other Tibet scholar Chabanaro, the lord of
Sambu Kheba, Sambu Hazar Khatid, Sambu Sejiro, Pe Kheba Chil Tungar, Luza Ulu Nenshiro Nensha, Pe Tata Tungra Tungra Suwa Yisiguru, Zungchen Putu Ngayi, Sheba Tuzi Tungwa, Sambu Nsiju Huzar.
Then, so this is again a scholar from the Sampu Monastery, which was the original monastery where the tradition of studying the five treatises was formulated. So he was a great scholar there. So this scholar, Chabanaro, they call him the Lord of Reasoning or the King of Logicians. According to his idea, then it has to be that the emptiness is truly existent.
Well, then you don't catch you were that one. Don't you also to be Colonia, I say, well, Pomona Messia, the Tuson Bussu, the Regime, or Tony Lemon, Tuson Bussu, the Regime, Pomona Mabel, the Turn of a Mabel's kid, huh? Then Tony was to be Naja, and Dadu Tavalama to be Ramat to a Mabela, Pomona Devama to the Nibu.
Then here, there's also the two explanations about the passage in the sutra when it says there's no this and that. So one explanation is that from the perspective of the reasoning consciousness, wisdom arisen from hearing, wisdom arisen from meditation, contemplation, and wisdom arisen from meditation, from the perspective of those reasoning consciousness, conventional phenomena do not appear. That is one explanation. And the other explanation is that the inherent existence or existence from its own side, which is not merely designated independence upon a collection, which is the basis of designation, that kind of existence from its own self or inherent existence, that do not exist. So that is the other kind of the Rangune Druba di Jeshinibadi
kind of.
So, so then here the second explanation is the fact that phenomena they are. If you then the existence from its own side, or the inherent existence from its own side, a kind of nature of that of a phenomena which is not merely designated in dependence upon a collection which is the basis of a designation, that kind of thing do not exist. Therefore, in that way, we say ultimately not existent. So that is the other explanation.
Dāngā tēn tūsū kātūrū gāne rē rīyā rī chūrū dhūlē tā chūyō sāpa tāni gōyā rīs tā chūrū sēn rī sā nē nē kālē yē kālē dēbā yā rū tūsū lū gō rīs nē jē dā rī tēgī jē nē kālē kālē xē yō gō rīs.
Yeah, so then these are the difficult points. So what you should do is kind of plant the seed in your mind, put it in your mind, and now that Buddhism is like a newly spread to these Western countries, so now you should leave these questions in your mind and then try to study more, to read more books and study with other teachers and go ask questions. We say that up to here the way to train oneself on the path of meditation has the general explanation of that has been completed. And what the next section is talking about, mainly within the path of meditation, still the diamond-like meditative stabilization, diamond-like samadhi, which is the uninterrupted path within the continuum of ascension being, at the end of the continuum as ascension being. So, meaning. Right before ascension being become a Buddha, that kind of uninterrupted path. During that time, there is the diamond-like meditative stabilization, and so the next section is talking specifically of that kind of meditation, which happens right before the achievement of enlightenment, which Rinpoche has mentioned, described a little bit before he gave the general introduction of the structure of the path. So then, what this diamond-like samadhi is trying to abandon is the obstruction to the smallest of the small form of the obstruction to omniscience, or you can say the imprints of the conception of true existence. That kind of obstacle, the subtlest of the subtle of that kind of objection. And here, again, as described earlier, there is the two stage. One is called the uninterrupted path, and there then also there is the path of release. These two stages are similar to throwing out a thief and bolting the door, closing the door and lock it. So here, during this diamond-like samadhi, this happens during the time of the uninterrupted path. During that time, the obstruction to omniscience are like fully abandoned. However, the truth of cessation, the cessation from obstructions, cessation of obstructions has not been achieved. And after the first moment of path of the uninterrupted path, then next moment is the path of release. At that time, you achieve the cessation of afflictive obstruction and obstruction to omniscience.
What is it?
Then here the description in the text goes, therefore, it's in the second page, the second paragraph of the second page, therefore Shariputra, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on, abide in the perfection of wisdom. And then after that, what is shown in the text is the path of no more learning, and also the way of achieving enlightenment. So here it says in the text, their minds have no obstruction and no fear, passing utterly beyond the perversity. They attain the final state beyond sorrow. Also, all the Buddhas who perfectly reside in the three times rely upon the perfection of wisdom, become manifest and complete Buddhas in a state of unsurpassed, perfect and complete enlightenment.
Then the text says
their minds have no obstructions and no fear, because during the meditative, during the diamond-like samadhi, afflictive obstruction and obstruction to omniscience has been abandoned. Therefore, after that, when you achieve enlightenment, these two kinds of obstructions have been abandoned. And having abandoned those obstructions, then in Buddha's mind, having achieved enlightenment, they no longer have fear for suffering, like a suffering of suffering, suffering of change, those kind of suffering. They never need to worry about them anymore. And then also they do not fear of the perversities. There are the four perversities of conceiving, grasping suffering as happiness, grasping impure as pure, grasping impermanent as permanent, and then grasping something that do not have a self as having a self. So there are the four perversities. When a sentient being has achieved enlightenment, then there is no more fear of the four perversities. So then the text goes on to say they attain the final state beyond sorrow. They finally perfected in the state of nirvana, the state beyond sorrow. That's the literal translation of the Tibetan word for nirvana. Then it says also all the Buddhas who perfectly reside in the three times rely upon the perfection of wisdom, become manifest and complete Buddhas in a state of unsurpassed, perfect and complete enlightenment. And here, so the word here has a very extensive, very profound, extensive meaning. Then it says that the Buddhas of the past achieved enlightenment, independence upon wisdom realizing emptiness, and the Buddhas of the present also achieve enlightenment through wisdom realizing emptiness, and also the Buddhas of the future will achieve enlightenment by relying upon the wisdom realizing emptiness.
What the Jusun Novajib Sanji Tanji Jangs, Jangi Kardiurasana, Puna Timmy Dajumas, Timmy Papa to Zumor, Tony to be sure of the ten, eh? And then Kazuka, Lanta Tatu Shada is, and the Shansen, the Jolan, etc., Jolan Tonogos and Tony to Kudua, Ne Jolanta, Tonan to Zumolo, Tony to be sure of the ten to Shada. What the Zukunga ten was this. He did Timmy Luke, Lanta Day Dance and Diggindos.
Then here the text says also, so the word also means not only the Buddhas, even the Hinayana Arhats and the Hinayana Aryas, Hinayana Superiors, they also achieve their state in dependence upon wisdom realizing emptiness. And also the Bodhisattvas, they, in order to achieve path of liberation and path of seeing, they have to have the realization of emptiness. So the So, in for all the for these beings, Hinayana and Mahayana, in order to achieve those realizations, they have to rely upon wisdom realizing emptiness.
Well, that they and that the Lita want to know that Susan Shinna Rosu Savas, Shanshu Shamu, and Lala Susan Shinna Temba, the Tabu Borders, that the Nama only passes on the Dunin Temba, so what the level is.
So then, here what has been finished so far is a detailed explanation for a disciple of a dull mental faculty. And what follows, the dull-witted, what follows is the teaching for sharp disciples by means of a mere uttering of the words of mantra.
What did that mean, Kajubare?
To teach that what is shown, what is taught in the text is therefore the passage goes. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the equal to the unequal mantra, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, since it is not forced, should be known as the truth. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Dayata, gati gati, para gati, para samgati, buddhi soha.
What did you do?